Father, we thank you as we pray, first of all, for this nation that we're living in. That, Lord, let the chaos and the confusion and the childness end. And let this nation be strong. Lord, it's one thing to say, make America great, but let's make it godly. And Lord, we pray over that. We pray for our nation. And Lord, we also pray for two special people, Father, for Stephanie and for Jacob as they depart next week for Peru. We cover them in the blood of Jesus, Lord. And Father, I'm so thankful as they depart, their feet are called beautiful. And Lord God, you're directing their every step. And Lord, you're using all of their faculties to proclaim the living word of God. I thank you, Lord, that your hands are now their hands and that they both possess the lowly heart of Christ and that you use them mightily. At the same time, let them learn, let them grow, let them come back to us safe and sound, O Father. Bless this word this morning. Help me to teach faithfully, accurately. May everything that we do, Lord, bring glory to our Savior, Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, we're going through the Gospel of John on Sunday mornings. And remember now, we left off last Sunday there with the greatest question. Jesus asked about 370 questions in the New Testament. 307 questions in the New Testament. But the greatest to me out of all the questions he ever asked was what he asked the lame man who had been at the Pool of Bethesda for 38 long years. And he says, do you want to be made well? Well, that's a great question. Not just well where you get up and you're whole, but well in your spirit as well. Amen? In other words, born from above. And you know what happened. Jesus said, arise, take up thy bed, and walk. And he did, but unfortunately, it was the Sabbath day. And all of the religious rulers, they fell apart because, they had all these man-made rules. Rule number 39, you don't carry a load from place to place upon the Sabbath. And if you do, you'll be stoned to death. And so that was the setting here. Now, with all that being said, look at verse 16 this morning. It says, for this reason, because Jesus spoke unto the man, arise, take up your bed and walk. He was carrying something which they considered unlawful on the Sabbath day. It says, for this reason, the Jews, the religious leaders, they persecuted Jesus, or literally in the Greek, they began to persecute Jesus and sought to what? Kill him. Can you believe that? Why? Well, because he had done these things on the day of rest, on the Sabbath, the day that God commanded where beast and man that they rest from their labor. But Jesus did something. He answered them and said, my Father, not your Father, not our Father, but my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Listen, God doesn't take a break. He doesn't say, well, it's nap time. It's time to take a nap. No, listen, he works, he's never rest. He's every day is the compassion of God. Every day is the goodness of God. Every day the mercy of God can be found. Amen? God and the Lord. He says, Jesus said, man, listen, I don't rest on the Sabbath, neither does my Father rest. He said, therefore, because of that, the Jews sought all the more to kill him. Because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said, God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And the church says, amen. That's the title of my sermon, amen and amen, okay? Listen very carefully. Before us is a lengthy discourse, if you will. It's Jesus' defense to the most educated and the most religious people in all of Israel, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, there they are standing in front of him, and he is going to address them. God is going to teach them. He's the God-man. Now listen, even after Jesus goes through all this discourse, making all these incredible claims with their Jewish mindset, okay, because they're Jews, all these incredible claims that the Lord is making, man, they're ready. They want to kill him right there because they're saying things, or he's saying things that they just can't buy into. Isn't it amazing that our Lord is so full of love? And there he is teaching. He's reaching out to these religious rulers. And even by the time we get to the verse 47 this morning, they're still not convinced. They don't want anything to do with the true Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This morning's message is very, very important. I pray your heart is open as I go through this lengthy discourse of our Lord, his defense, if you will, of his activities on the Sabbath day. And then I'm going to make application at the end of verse 47. Let's begin this morning in verse 19. And then Jesus answered the religious rulers, and he said to them, amen and amen. That's what those words most assuredly mean. He says, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things, and literally has given all things into his hand, that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, meaning the healing of the lame man at the pool of Bethesda, that you may just be blown away. In other words, that you may marvel. Now listen very carefully. Jesus used a word that we're familiar with, but they were truly familiar with. He uses a word that is so strong, their eyes had to just bulge open, okay? He used the word most assuredly, or maybe your translation says truly, truly, or verily, verily. The word literally, most assuredly, are the same words in the Greek, amen and amen. Now, when Jesus used that language with what he was saying, here's what he means. He says, fellas, listen to me carefully. And I'm paraphrasing if you don't mind. He said, what I'm saying to you right this minute is absolutely sure. It is absolutely certain. It is absolutely completely immutable, infallible. The words that I say unto you are perfect, divine truth. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away. Amen. So listen, when Jesus says something like this or anything he has said, you can put it in the bank. Amen. Now, with all that being said, Jesus saying most assuredly, or amen and amen, he says, I say unto you, those people who want to kill him, that want him dead, he says this, listen, guys, the healing that just took place on the Sabbath. He says, if you're going to blame anybody, don't blame me. Blame God. Blame my Father. For whatever I see him do, whatever I hear him say, I do the same thing. In other words, he's saying to them, you're looking at God right now. Are you following me? But they didn't buy into it. They didn't want anything to do with it. He says, listen, I can do absolutely nothing by myself. Everything I do because the Father tells me to do it. You see, Jesus said in John 10:30, I and the Father are one. One heart, one purpose, one will. Jesus is the God-man. Jesus is the audible voice of God on this planet. Jesus came to tell us the will of God. Amen. He came to tell the will of God, the word of God, to all mankind to save us. He's the way, the truth, the life. No one can come to the Father but by him. Now listen, he says, the Father loves me. He loves me. That's that perfect love, that perfect unity that's in the Godhead, if you will. So he just says, listen, everything I see him do, I do myself. That should have opened their eyes or opened their hearts, but it didn't. I'm sure it opened their eyes. They were going, this person is a lunatic, is probably what they were saying. He says, now, watch this, what he says about life. He says in verse 21, Jesus continues now talking to them, for as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. So he's just saying simply, you know what, God the Father, my Father, he raises the dead. Father like Son, I raise the dead as well. You know, we were dead at trespasses and sins, and thank God he raised us up to walk in a newness of life. Now, I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. See, we don't see their faces. I'm telling you, they are upset as he's speaking. You know something? A person is not fully alive until Jesus Christ is the Lord of their life. Amen? We're dead. I mean, we go through the activities of life, and you know, but we have no spiritual life, because we're not born from above. And so I look and I say, oh Lord, you're so good. You're the imparter of life. Now look at the judgment. It says in verse 22, for the Father judges no one, he tells us why, but has committed all judgment to the Son. If we could see the faces of the rulers right now, I'm telling you they were probably picking up stones to stone him. Because to the Jew, as it says in Genesis, to the Jew, you know, God is the judge of all the earth. And for anyone to take that title to them was absolute blasphemy. And boy, was worthy of death. By claiming to be the judge, Jesus was telling them, you know what? I am God. And again, they could not buy into it. So we go from life, we go to judgment, and now go to honor in verse 23. Watch this now. And that all should honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. This is a great verse of Scripture to use whenever you're approached by, say, other religions are just an unbeliever when they go, well, I believe in God and, you know, I know there's a God and all that and I just don't believe in Jesus. Well, I'm sorry. Here's the fact. Here's the deal. If you dishonor Jesus, you dishonor God the Father. There's no neutral ground or there's no middle ground. You can't find it at all. No. See, some religions, they'll come to you and say, yes, we worship the same God that you do, but we just do not hold or believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. He's not the God-man. He's not God. You know what? The Bible's very clear on that. You know, it says in 1 John 2:23, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son or confesses him as Lord has the Father also. See, you can't have the one without the other. It's an impossibility. You deny Jesus, you just denied God. Amen? Now, watch this now in verse 24. He says that word again, amen and amen. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word, and we're hearing his word this morning, and believes in him who has sent him as everlasting life shall not come into the judgment, but has passed from life into death. Here it comes again now. Amen and amen. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. He says right now, the hour is right now. So we know that Jesus is primarily speaking of two things here that have not yet happened. He's talking about those who are going to hear the word of God and that they're spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, but they're going to be made alive. They're going to believe in him. And he's talking about what's going to happen in John chapter 11 when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Verse 26, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. You know, life is what everybody wants, isn't it? You know, have you ever heard that expression, get a life? You know, that's what Jesus just said, get a life. Because you don't have a life. You see, our life is derived. It comes from him. Does that make sense? Life in himself. It's not like he created. He is life. Does that make sense? Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus tells us in his word, he says, listen, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. What is he saying here? Well, just as God the Father is a source of life, I am the source of all life. I am the giver, the imparter of all true life. Amen? I'm so thankful that we have his life living in our hearts this morning. Now watch this. It says in verse 27, and not only that, he says God has given him authority to execute what? Judgment. That means to judge. Why? Well, because he is the Son of Man. He came, we go from the Son of God to the Son of Man. He's 100% God, 100% man. He became one of us, amen, except without sin. Now, very important, Jesus is the sole judge of the entire world. He's the sole judge. You remember in the book of Acts, when Luke was writing, he says in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, he says, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now, meaning now everything has changed, God commands all men everywhere, all over the world, there's no exception, in every generation, to repent. And here's the reason why. Because God has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness, and hear how he's going to do it, by the man whom he has ordained, meaning Jesus Christ our Lord. He has given us assurance to all of this by raising Jesus from the dead. Did you know that knowledge of future judgment in the Word of God is always a plea from the heart of God for man to repent, to change his direction, to get right with God, to come to him so he may have life, that his sins may be forgiven. Amen? Jesus is the judge. Oh, listen, one day every person is going to stand before the Lord. Now look at verse 28. He says, Jesus goes on. He says, now do not marvel at this. Obviously, they were just falling apart as he said these things. For the hour is coming which all who are in the graves will hear his voice. Man, the voice that wakes the dead. Isn't that going to be cool? Huh? Yeah. Whew. And it says, and come forth those who've done good to the resurrection of what? Life. Now, Daniel's chapter 12, I think it is, 1 and 2, tells us that there's going to be a universal resurrection, every person. But it's very important that we understand that the resurrection occurs in stages. In other words, what we're waiting on right now is for the rapture or the catching away of the church. It's going to happen that we're going to hear the Lord. We're going to hear the voice, the shout of the trumpet and so forth. The dead in Christ shall rise first. All the graves are going to empty, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the air, and we will be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. Man, that's going to happen in a twinkling of an eye. Man, I'm going to have a Hulk body. You know what I'm saying? No. Man, no pain. Isn't that going to be great? No pain, no contact lenses. I'm not going to dye my hair like Kevin or any of those things ever again. Now, you know I'm teasing Kevin. I was talking about Mark. No, Mark, I'm teasing. You see, when you sit on the front row, you risk everything. Because that's as far as I can see. Oh, listen, that could happen in any minute. We could be gone. But, now listen. So we move here. No, we don't. I'm sorry. Let's go down. I just about left. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, done good. Now, what does that mean? There's no one good. Not one doeth good, the Bible says. The only good thing that a person can do is go to Jesus Christ and say, Jesus, forgive me, be the Lord of my life. Now, after that, the goodness of God, is, of course, comes into our life and into our heart. Goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life. And guess what happens? Then we start doing good works for him, which are a result of his grace and his strength. Amen? And then that's the resurrection of life. Oh, gosh, to be with the Lord forever in our brand new bodies and all those things. But it says, and those who have done evil, those who don't want anything to do with God or reject God, reject Jesus, the resurrection of condemnation or the resurrection of judgment. Now, the rapture will occur first, then the great tribulation period, the 7 years happen after that. And then we know that in Revelation chapter 19, the church, which is already in heaven, the bride of Christ, Jesus at his second coming, we come back with him. He puts his feet upon the Mount of Olives. He sets up Jerusalem as the capital of the entire world, the universe. And then the 1,000-year or the millennial, the 1,000-year reign begins. Now, at the end of the 1,000-year reign, right before it's over there, we have the first resurrection found in Revelation chapter 20. The first resurrection are those of the tribulation saints, those who have been martyred, okay? Now, I'm sorry, that happens at the beginning. And then 1,000 years after that is the second resurrection. Boy, that's a horrible resurrection. Everyone in the sea, everyone in Hades, small, great, rich, poor, doesn't matter. All of the unsaved from all time will then be resurrected. They will have resurrected bodies. And they will stand before Jesus in the great white throne judgment. The heavens will pass away. Earth will pass away. There's just the Lord. And they're standing there. This is going to be what we call the second death. Can you imagine only being brought up to die all over again? In other words, dying meaning eternal separation from God forever and ever and ever and ever. That's what happens to those who have to show up at the great white throne judgment. There's absolutely no escape. Every person that has ever been born will be resurrected and will stand before the Lord. Boy, what a thought that is. That means that death is not the end, loved one. Look at verse 30 now. Jesus continues talking to them. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, or my judgment is perfect. My judgment is true. Why? Well, I don't seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. So Jesus says, everything I do is perfect because it comes right from the Father, and the judgment is perfect. So we move now from the unity that they have together to the witnesses. Watch this in verse 31. Jesus continues talking to the religious rulers. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not valid, or it's not true. And that's a universal principle. In other words, it wouldn't stand up in a court of law, just my own test. I need a witness. So what Jesus did here, he's going to call three witnesses because the Jewish law required in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So he's going to call John the Baptist, God the Father, and finally he's going to call the Holy Word of God, the Scriptures, as his witness. Now watch this in verse 22. He says, there is another who bears witness of me, and I know the witness of which he, you notice that's capitalized, that means God the Father, which he witnesses of me is true. Now, he's going to move to John. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Remember John the Baptist, the forerunner. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There at Jesus' baptism. And yet, I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things to you that you may be saved. He, meaning John the Baptist, was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light, for a time. In other words, all of Israel, they were excited at John the Baptist. There he was down at the Jordan baptizing, repent, be baptized, and so forth. And even the religious rulers came down to him and were listening to him. Thousands would be coming. But he called them a brood of vipers, remember? Who warned you of the wrath to come, and so forth. Now, with all of this being said here, they just rejoiced for a season, just for a short little time. They thought the kingdom was coming immediately. Matter of fact, even John the Baptist thought the same thing, because when he was arrested and put in prison by Herod, what did he send messengers to Jesus? And he says, are you the one? Are we to look for another? Are we to look for another? See, he was even doubting a little bit. Lord, what's going on here? You said the kingdom was coming. So everyone was excited, but it was only for a brief little period of time. So Jesus said, you know, he was just the lamp. He wasn't the light. I'm the light. And John the Baptist was a great, great man. Jesus said, not born of women is anyone greater than John the Baptist. His lamp was put out. He burned out for the Lord. Herod, of course, you know what Herod did, had him beheaded and so forth. Verse 36, it says, but I have a greater witness than John. Look what he says now. Here's the next witness. The works, meaning everything that Jesus did in his earthly ministry, the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, like the healing of the lame man that they're complaining about, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. The witness of works. You know, the miracles of Jesus prove that God was with him. Amen? Yeah. What did they say in the book of Acts chapter 10, verse 38? It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power and with the Holy Spirit, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus, the healer. And it says, and the Father himself, now the supreme witness now is God the Father, and the Father himself who sent me. Well, he's bore witness or testified of me. I don't know if that means the voice that came at the baptism or the transfiguration. We're not told, but it says, look what he says to them. You've never heard his voice at any time, nor have you seen his form. Man, Jesus said, I work because my Father works. I heal the sick. I raise the dead. All the things that Jesus did and is going to do there in, as in our study. Listen, and he says to them, and you call me a blasphemer. You want me dead. You want me dead because I said God is my Father, that I made myself equal with God because I am God. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father, what Jesus told Philip, remember? He says, you want me dead because of all those things, because I healed a man who had been sick and couldn't walk, waiting for the angel to stir the water. I healed him in that condition on the Sabbath. And Jesus, you know what? You don't know God. You don't know me. You've never seen God. You've never even heard his voice. And look what Jesus says to them now. You do not have his word, God's word, the scripture, living or abiding in you. And here's the reason. Because whom he sent, him you do not believe. In other words, they don't believe Jesus is the Lord, the Messiah. Now look what he says. You diligently study, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. In other words, you think that you're earning acceptance by God and so forth, you know, splitting the hairs of the word of God and so forth. He says, but these are which testify of me. Can you imagine he's talking to the Pharisees? I mean, listen, these guys, when they raised their children, they would teach them the word of God, and every time they would give them a scripture, they'd put honey in their mouth and say, taste and see that the word of God is sweet, that it's good. Man, but they didn't understand the word of God. In other words, can you imagine us going through God's word and never seeing Jesus, never seeing any of the, never understanding any of it? It'd be all in vain. That's why I tell people, you know, all the time, I say, it's wonderful to know God's word. Amen? It's wonderful to memorize scripture. But to know the word of God and to memorize God's word and not understand what you are memorizing is insanity. Did you understand? I mean, just to quote scripture, but you don't really even know what the scripture means, it doesn't work that way. That's what Jesus is saying to these people right here. He said, you know what? You've missed everything. You've missed me. And you're supposed to know the word of God. He said, they testify of me. But you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. And that's what everybody wants. God's willing that you have life. God wants every person to have eternal life. Amen? But they weren't willing. God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to the repentance. No. Listen, God was teaching them. God was standing right in their midst, and they missed him. Someone said this, the world's resistance to God is based on its imagined security. You go talk to the average person today that's outside of Christ, that doesn't know the Lord, they really believe they're secure. And they say, well, if there really is a God, well, I'll make heaven because I'm a good man or a good woman. I'm a good person. It doesn't work that way. If you could be the best person in the world, you know, but no one has kept the Ten Commandments. Amen. Except one person. His name is Jesus. We're all in trouble. Okay. We need a Savior. That's why he came. Now, with all that being said, Jesus said, I do not receive honor from men. In other words, human glory doesn't mean one thing to me. He says, but I know you. I know all about you. You don't know me. You don't know God. But I know all about you that you do not have, watch this, the love of God in you. You know, if the Jewish people believed if anyone would ever make heaven, it had to be the religious rulers, the Pharisees, the strictest of the sect. Jesus is looking right at them and is saying, you know what? You claim to know God, and everybody else thinks you love God. Jesus said, you don't love God at all. You know what they did? They searched the scriptures. They learned the scriptures to defend their own man-made theology. In other words, all of those rules. It's like a legalist. A legalist learns the word of God so they can beat somebody else to pieces with the word of God, which should have never been done. The word of God is to set us free, not to beat us to death. Amen? Now, with all of that being said, he said, you don't have the love of God in you. You know, Jesus could have said this. You know what? You quote the Shema twice a day. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one God, and you shall love him with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You say that twice a day. You don't love your neighbor. If you loved your neighbor, then the man at Bethesda who was crippled for 38 years, you would not be condemning me for healing him or condemning him either. Do you understand? See, that's what the Lord is saying here. You know, he's saying you love your man-made religion. You love your man-made rules more than you love God. You love yourself is what he is saying here. I have come in my Father's name. You do not receive me. If another comes in his name, own name, him you will receive. Now, listen carefully. This is incredible word for the nation of Israel because this is future and has yet to have it has not happened. This is speaking of the one that's coming that they're going to receive, the people of Israel, okay, is talking about the future Antichrist that's coming upon this planet who may be even here now. We don't even know. In other words, they're going to embrace, they're going to walk away from truth and embrace the lie. The Bible says in Revelation 13 that the whole world is going to worship him. Think about that. This is during the Great Tribulation or right before the horrible events that occur. The Antichrist, he comes, he's going to make a covenant with the nation of Israel, and they're going to rebuild their temple. And I'll tell you what, the devil can't wait because he's going to set up an image there. Remember, you know the story. No, this is yet future. He says, and how can you believe you receive honor from one another? Now watch this. This is the ultimate condemnation from our Lord to these people. You do not seek honor that comes only from God. Jesus later on in John 12:43, where right in that area, he'll say, you know what? For you love the praise of men more than you love the praise of God. Now, do you think that I shall accuse you to your Father? There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. Now watch. For if you believed Moses, and boy, Moses was like God to them. If you believed Moses, you would also believe me. And here's the reason why. For he wrote about me. I mean, Jesus could have said, have you never read Genesis 22 about Abraham and Isaac, how he offered his only son, and he offered his only son on Mount Moriah? But he didn't, did he? Now, who's he speaking of? Or how about the Passover lamb, the lamb that brought you, the blood that brought you out of the land of Egypt? Or how about the manna that fell from heaven? Who's the true manna? Jesus. How about the water that came from the rock? Paul says in Corinthians, he said, in Christ was that spiritual rock that gave them water that followed them in the desert. Everything in Scripture, I tell you, points to our Lord. Amen. All the prophecies, all these things. And they say, and Jesus said, yeah, you know all about Moses. You just don't believe one thing Moses said. You don't believe any of that at all. Warren Wiersbe said, it's one thing to have the word of God in your hands or in your heads, but quite another to have it in your heart. Now listen carefully. Moses wrote about me. You know how important that is? Jesus just said that Moses wrote the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Bible. The Bible. Man, that's so important. Whenever Jesus, there after his resurrection, he ran into those two disciples on the road to Emmaus who were sad and discouraged and hopeless and all of that. And he goes up and says, why are you so sad? And they go through this long thing. Well, we thought he was the Messiah, but they killed him. He's dead. And they didn't know it was Jesus. And what did he do? Luke 24, 27 or someplace like that. See how you cover your tracks? Somewhere in the Bible. What did Jesus do to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus? At beginning with Moses, he opened up the scriptures to them, and they said, oh, did our hearts not burn within us as he opened up the scriptures as we walked with him along the way? See, everything Moses said, all of it was talking about the Lord. all the sacrifices in Leviticus and all the rest, it's all about Jesus. Oh, man. And look what he says. But if you do not believe Moses' writings, how will you believe my words? Listen, Jesus just put the unity of the Word of God and himself in the Scripture. In other words, don't mess with the Word of God. It's people who cut down Genesis or tag Genesis, oh, there's no way the first chapter of Genesis or even the first 11. Listen to what Jesus says, they're real. Amen? Now, listen very carefully. They missed their Messiah. I don't want anyone to miss our Lord this morning. Now, I want to make an application. Thank you for bearing with me with that long of something I normally never do on a Sunday, but it's so vital because the Lord is teaching us here. I want you to go back now to verse 24. And if you are a believer and you lay awake at night and you're worried about the judgment that's coming, or you're worried what's going to happen to you when you really die, or if you're going to say, am I really saved and all the rest, are my sins really forgiven? You need to take this scripture and you need to memorize it. Amen? That's what we're talking about this morning. Amen and amen. Verse 24, look what he says. Most assuredly, there's that word in the Greek, the same word, amen, amen. I say to you, that's to every person here, every person listening live right now. I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him, meaning God the Father who sent me, has what? Everlasting life. And shall not come into the judgment, but has passed from death into life. Church, listen to me now. When Jesus, he used these words, and the reason he used them is because he wants every believer, whoever believes in him as Lord and trusts him in Lord, he wants every believer to be so assured and know in their heart how much God loves them and what you are not going to have to face because you're in Christ Jesus. That's why Jesus used those words, amen and amen, the strongest language he could use right here, where he is saying basically, listen, it is certain. It is absolutely immutable. It is infallible. It is perfect divine truth from my lips. Amen. The Bible says in Titus 1:2 that God cannot lie. Again, heaven and earth will pass away. Jesus said, my words will never pass away. Oh, Lord, well then, most assuredly, what do you want us to be so sure about? My first question, though, would be this. Do you believe that scripture? Do you believe the spoken words of our Lord? Are they enough for you this morning? In other words, the word of God. I believe with all my heart. Listen, there is absolutely no greater assurance than the words of Jesus. Amen? That's why he said, most assuredly. Oh, it's a straining, if you will. He says, listen, the judge of all mankind, here's what he says to the believer. I want to give you a double assurance. Amen, amen. It is certain. It is certain. It is infallible. It is perfect truth. Are you following me? What do you mean, Lord? Well, listen, it says here that we who were condemned to die, we were dead in trespasses and sins and iniquities, amen? We were outside the will of God. We didn't even know God. We who were condemned to die, had we not come to Christ, hell is where we would have ended up. We who were condemned to die, listen to what Jesus said. I say unto you, he says, not shall have one day. He doesn't say that. He says possesses right this second eternal life. It is present tense in the Greek, meaning, look at it again. He who hears my word, believes in him who sent me, possesses right now everlasting life. Listen, I have, you have, if Jesus is your Lord, we have in us a life, never-ending life. We have his life that never expires, amen? Think about that. No, right this minute. Listen, it is certain. We're going to live forever. We have his life living in us. I go, oh God, you are so good. You know what that means? We are so far displaced and removed from the second death, we can't even see it. Oh, it's going to be so wonderful. Jesus told us in John 10:28, listen to what he says. I give them eternal life, meaning those who believe in him. And they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Listen to me. I don't know how you feel about that. But to me, no one can get me out of the hand of Jesus. No devil, no problem, no sin, no nothing. Amen. I'm telling you, he says nothing will ever. I don't care what comes your way. Jesus has a hold on his sheep. He doesn't lose sheep. Amen. No, listen, I say, there's so many times I say it to myself in my prayer time. I said, Lord, I know you will never relax your hold upon me. Never. Those that I'm praying for that are maybe prodigals or whatnot, I say, oh God, you'll never relax your hold upon them. You'll drag them out of the mud and set them up when they come to themselves. Amen. Listen, God doesn't lose sheep. He's not in the sheep losing business. Amen. Oh, he is the great shepherd of the sheep. And I say, oh Lord, I have everlasting life. I just believed in you. I can't get it any other way. Just, Lord, I be the Lord of my life. What a promise. He says, most assuredly, you, if you believe in me, if you've asked me to be your Lord, you possess it right this minute. Not only that, he says, amen and amen of a perfect certainty. Listen to what he says. Watch this. I say unto you, you shall not come into what? The judgment. There's going to be a judgment, amen? It's going to happen, Lord. Listen, the believer, where are we judged at? At the Bema seat, the place of rewards, the Bema seat of Christ. Oh gosh, listen, I listen to that and I say, oh Lord, wait a minute. Are you telling me that I don't have to wait until I die to find out what the true verdict about my life is going to be? That's right, Bill. You don't have to wait. What do you mean I don't have to wait? Well, the fact of the matter is that you have already been judged. You've already been punished. You've already been condemned. I have? Yes. When did that happen? When Jesus took your place on the cross and he died the death and took the sin that belonged to you. He took it from all. You see what I'm getting at? See, he took that. That's why it says in the book of Romans, he goes, listen, Paul says in Romans 8:33, who shall bring a charge or literally any charge against God's elect, his chosen ones? That's who we are. He says, it is God who justifies, declares innocent, justifies, treats you because you've believed in Jesus. Ask him to be your Lord, just as if you had never sinned. And then he puts into your account the perfect, spotless, sinless record of Jesus. And when God sees us, he sees us in Christ. Listen, it just doesn't get any better than that. I'm telling you what, every Christian should have a tambourine. You know what I mean? That's right. And don't walk in here all sour. And I'm just kicking cans, just trying to get down the road. No, you have overcome the world. Do you understand? You're in the one who overcame the world. You can't lose. We win. Read Revelation. Oh, listen, he goes on, he says, who is he who condemns? It's Christ who died. In other words, who died in our place, who took our punishment, who took our judgment, who took all of our sin. It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen. Thank God for the victory. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Won't you listen to me? This is so important because I talk to believers all the time. Well, I don't know if God, the devil tells me I'm not saved and my friends tell me about it. I don't know. Listen, if Jesus Christ is your Lord, you don't believe the devil, you don't believe your friends, you believe amen and amen. Do you understand? You believe what Jesus has said, the certainty of what he's saying in his word, where you're living for him and walking in a newness of life. Listen, it's very important. Loved one, if you are a Christian, it is an absolute theological impossibility for you to come into judgment. Did you? Oh, everybody's kind of quiet. And I'm just stepping over a line. Really? Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now now, right this minute. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no judgment to those who are in, meaning all that he is, in Christ Jesus. Now, some of you are going to say, yeah, but Bill, you didn't read the whole scripture. Who walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. No, 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 loved one. That's in italics. That's not there. It goes down. You go down to verse 4, I think. Then you'll see that. You can't. No, there's something you can do to earn salvation. You can do nothing but say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Amen. There's not one work we can do to be saved. Then it would be, well, I did something. No, Jesus did it all. Yeah, very important. Now listen, he says most assuredly, verily, verily, truly, truly, amen, amen. It is a certainty, it's sure, it's immutable, infallible truth. I say unto you, watch this, you have passed from death into life. I don't know how you feel about that, but man, I am not dead. You are not dead. Do you understand? We left death. We walked away from death. We were transferred out of all that nonsense. Do you understand? Oh, listen, I look, I say, oh, God, you're so good. You mean the one who has believed in you, really death is left behind? Yes, right. But I'm going to die. Well, maybe so, but to be absent from the body is to be immediately present with the Lord. And not only that, you'll never taste death. Now, Bill, yes, you will. No, no, no. Jesus tasted death for everyone. The word tasted means, there from Hebrews, it says Jesus tasted death for everyone, means that he tasted the full measure of what death really is. We won't, because he's already paid for it. Do you understand? That's why, yes, our body's going to die, but we already have everlasting life. We have a new body one day, amen? But to be absent again from this old crummy body, and it is a crummy body. You wait till you get Kevin's age and you'll know. Man, yeah. We've entered into a realm that we'll never be banished from. We've entered into true life, what life really, really is. And one day we're going to experience that life like we never, ever, ever have. Do you know that there's a proof text about that we've passed from death into life in the Bible? It right in 1 John 3:14, it says, and this we know. We know that we have passed, crossed over, passed out of death into life. Why? Here it comes. Because we love the brethren. There's the evidence. You want to know the evidence of a believer? Believers should not be mean people in the church. Out there, I don't care what. No, I'm just here. We're family. Do you understand? We're to love one another, and yes, we're to love our neighbor as ourselves, and we're to pray for our enemies, those who despitefully use you, say all manner of evil, and persecute you for his name's sake, meaning because you love the Lord, not because you throw the Bible at people. No, listen. The love is the highest. It's the pinnacle of being a Christian. There should not be loveless Christians. We have the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. Amen? We have it right now. We should let that love explode, not just to one another, but to everyone else. But that's the commandments that this church is built on. What did Jesus tell us in the upper room? He says, a new commandment I give unto you. He says that ye love one another. And here's the new part, that you love one another as I have loved you. And by this, all will know that you're my disciples. Listen, a Christian, you want evidence that a person is a Christian? Not gossiping and beating other believers up and saying manner of evil. That's a bunch of, you didn't come here for a Longhorn sermon, did you? You know a Longhorn sermon, you know, 2 points and a lot of bull in the middle. No, man, we don't water down God's word here. We don't compromise God's word here. You know, if you're a Christian, then love. Because you can. It's just that simple. Now listen, You know, death, we don't have to, it's gone. You know, we don't have to fear what's coming, the judgment. We don't have to fear the day that we depart out of this body. You know, yes, I mean, we're going to be at the bema seat of Christ. And yes, we're going to be judged for our works. Matter of fact, everyone in Revelation, all the resurrection, they're judged for their works, okay? But this is for rewards. And all of our junk that we messed up on, the wood, hay, stubble, and all that, it's just going to be burned off. God says, I can't take that junk to heaven. Get away from me. But here's some good things about you. You did a few things, you know what I mean? Just a few. One. The Bible tells us the reason we don't have to fear. When Jesus said, when we just read that we've passed from death into life, there's no judgment because we've believed in him. In 1 John 4:17, the Bible says this. It says, love has been perfected among us, meaning a maturing love, okay? In this, that we have boldness, and it tells us when, the boldness, we're going to be bold. It says, in the day of judgment. Why? Here it comes. You ready? Because as he is. Now listen to me. As Jesus is, not as Jesus was, okay? As Jesus is this very present moment. As Jesus is, so are we in this world right now. He says, so there's no fear in love, but perfect love, meaning God's love, knowing how much he loves us, that he sent Jesus. It says, cast out all fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. You see, that's why Christians go, but I don't know, but Bill, you know. I say, no, you don't have to fear. Why? Because as he is, seated at the right hand of God, in all of his glory, in all of his power, in all that he is, so are we right now in this world. That is the Christian's position in Christ Jesus. Amen? Boy, I'll tell you, if there's ever been a word that you need to receive, it is that one right there. This tells us something, that our judgment is not future. Our judgment is past. It happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus went to the cross and then he was raised from the dead. Amen? He took everything for us. And some of you go, well, Bill, it's time to go. I know with that. I heard Kevin's stomach growling. Three times, oh, Lord, forgive me. No, listen, you say, I'm a mess. I know, so am I. Boy, God is so good with messes, isn't he? You know what God does? Jesus turns messes into messengers with his message. See, Philippians 1:6, he, meaning God, he who began a good work in you, the day that you asked Christ to be your Savior, he who began a good work in you will complete it, will finish it until the very day of Christ. Listen, loved one, he's going to take care of us. You know, if you don't know Jesus this morning as your Lord, may I ask you a question? When you die, you're going to face the Lord one way or another. But if God asks you what right, even believers, if God asks you what right do you have to enter into heaven, what would you say? Like I told the first service, would you say, well, I have put up with Bill all these years? I know that's been difficult. Or I go to church. I teach Sunday school. I do this. I do that. Or I try real hard. No, that's not going to cut it in heaven. What you're going to say, what you should say is this, most assuredly. Amen and amen. I trust the words of my Savior because he said unto me, he said, I tell you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and will not come into the judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, Jesus would say unto us this morning, amen and amen, it is finished. Jesus has paid it all. Listen, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord, I'm telling you, there he is real. He loves you. He died for you. He is coming again. There is a judgment. Don't ever risk your life, your soul, by walking away and rejecting the Lord. This is not reality. Heaven is reality. This is a world that's temporary, that's passing away. But he who doeth the will of God abideth forever and ever and ever. Father, this morning as we come to you, we celebrate most assuredly. Oh Lord, amen and amen. We know your word is true. It is certain. It is infallible. It is immutable. And we trust it implicitly. We thank you for that. But Lord, this morning, maybe here in this chapel, or maybe there's a listening live, I don't know, but they've never really asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of their life. I mean, they may come to church and they may even teach Sunday school, but they've never said, Lord, come into my heart. I believe you, be the Lord of my life. You know, if you've never done that, I'm asking you, through the one who loves you and died for you and wants you, would you come to him right now? Would you give your heart to the Lord? And if that's you, listen, you don't have to get out of your chair. Our heads are bowed. The only people that see here is me and God and you. But if Jesus is not your Lord, please, would you come to him? And here's how you do it. Just lift your hand up. Say, Bill, that's me. I just want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Put it right back down. Up and put it right back down. That's all. Yes, God bless you. I see that. That's right. Anyone else will say, Bill, that's me. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want him to come into my heart and live. I want everlasting life. I want heaven to be my home. Last call. Anyone else? Lift your hand high. Put it right back down. Those that lifted their hands, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Church, I want you to help me. Say, Father, I come to you now. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. Jesus, be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. You promised if I would confess him as Lord and believe it in my heart, you would save me. Father, I believe Jesus be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. Father, we praise you now. We give you thanks for this wonderful day. We thank you, Lord, for the one that came to Christ just immediately passed out of death into everlasting life. There's no one like you. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. God is good. Let's stand to our feet this morning. You who lifted your hands, listen carefully. We're going to close with a song. And when the song is over, please come down here. There'll be men and women. They love you. They'll pray with you. But they really want to give you a booklet, a free booklet entitled Welcome to the...